Thank you, Michael. Good evening. You can be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. These thoughts tonight are really not a coincidence, and they never are when God is concerned, are they? But one Sunday night or Wednesday night, I was talking to Bob Adcock, and we were discussing the passage that we're going to look at tonight. And the Lord had already directed my thoughts to this passage of Scripture before we even talked. So it was quite interesting how God works. And we discussed this passage a little bit. But let's look at it together again tonight, together as an assembly. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, let's break in at verse 7. And here is the Apostle Paul. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," three times, "that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee." And then the Apostle Paul, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Well, we are continuing our studies into what the Bible would teach us about trials in the Christian life. And this is actually our fourth study into this subject, which the Scriptures very notably place tremendous emphasis on in the Word of God, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Now, by way of review, let us remind ourselves of what we have already learned from the Scriptures in those previous studies. Now, from 1 Peter chapter 2, we learned that all Christians are called to suffering. Just as we were called out of the darkness of sin and into the light of salvation, every Christian is called by Christ himself to suffer for his sake. And the Bible indicates to us there are no exceptions to this, and that this truth is unalterable. We are called to trial. But also, we learn that we are appointed to affliction. We learn this from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. And one version there on that renders 1 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, "We are destined to afflictions." Of course, this appointing and this destiny that the Bible talks about is accomplished by God himself. It's not happenstance. It's not circumstance that happens haphazardly. Also, we also learned as well from Philippians chapter 1 that it is given to us to suffer on behalf of Christ. So the Scriptures teach us unequivocally and without reservation that God has a divine and perfect plan for all of his children that calls us, appoints us, and gives to us to suffer trial for the glory of Christ. Now, we also further learned that any unpleasant happening in our life, no matter how small, let me remind you of that, we emphasize that, no matter how small it may be, it might be an offense from the checkout counter at Kroger, you know, no matter how small it is, should be considered by the Christian to be a trial. And further, that this trial, this unpleasant circumstances, comes either directly or indirectly from God Himself. Now, this is what the Bible teaches. For instance, now here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we see that Paul's trial, this thorn in the flesh that Paul mentioned, came from Satan. That's mentioned in verse 7. But it was expressly permitted by God. Now, this we understand from the Old Testament, from the book of Job, where we learned that God permitted Satan to administer trials to his people, to Job himself. God permitted that. But these trials do not ultimately come from Satan, but are permitted by God. Satan is simply God's agent, his instrument. God uses evil, even in our own lives. We need to understand this. But it is permitted by God. Now, we also learned from 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 10 that all suffering, all unpleasant experiences have a specific and special divine purpose. A purpose. Now, that purpose by God is to make you what you ought to be. Do you remember that phrase? To make you what you ought to be. Now, that expression, the meaning of the words perfect and complete in the King James Version of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10 is what that word means, makes you what you ought to be. And this great truth is confirmed to us in the Old Testament from such passages as Psalm 119 and verse 71, which says, "It is good for me," the psalmist said, "it is good for me that I have been afflicted, so that I might learn thy statutes." In other words, affliction is for my good, and affliction teaches me obedience. Or as the New Testament would declare to us from 1 Peter 5, make you what you ought to be. Now, was this the Apostle Paul's experience here? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 here, we will, in a very practical and experiential way, see these truths that we observe from other portions of Scripture. We will see these truths worked out here in this passage as well. Now, this experience that Paul had shows forth and illustrates the truth that suffering makes us what we ought to be, and that suffering stimulates and produces obedience, just as the psalmist declared thousands of years ago. Now, I want you to carefully note in this passage Paul's progression and the step-by-step process in learning obedience and becoming what he ought to be. And this is easily missed by the reader. Now, notice in verse 8 that Paul besought the Lord. He came before the Lord on three different occasions to take away this physical affliction, this thorn in the flesh, as he described it. Some commentators think that perhaps this was a vision problem. And later we read in the epistles that the Apostle Paul had to write in very large letters so that he himself could read it, what he was actually writing. We don't know what this thorn in the flesh is. It really doesn't matter. Now, we do need to understand something from this, however. First of all, God was going to teach Paul something. which we too should understand about trials and unpleasant happenings of life. And that is this. God deals with us progressively and in a step-by-step fashion. Now, what do I mean by this? What do I mean by this? Well, first of all, He starts where we are. He starts where I am. Where I am spiritually. Where I am emotionally. Where I am mentally. He starts at that point, wherever we may be, wherever I am, and then through my dealing with myself. We talked about dealing with our hearts, didn't we? And then dealing with God. He gently leads me to grace. He leads me to grace. Now, by the time God got through with Paul in this experience, He had led him progressively, and we're going to see that. I'm going to explain that. He had led him progressively and step by step to grace. By the end of Paul's experience, Paul learned God's grace was sufficient. Now, this truth in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 here of Paul's going to the Lord three times. He went to the Lord three times, didn't he? Well, that requires a period of time. Okay? Now, this is easily missed when we read this account. It required a period of time. So, nevertheless, at the beginning, when Paul first asked the Lord, the first time, he did not possess this grace that God was seeking to give him, that God was seeking to teach him. Okay? We need to understand this. Paul asked the first time, Lord, take it away. Take it away. And the Lord said, no. No. Paul asked the second time, after some period of time, Lord, take it away. No. The Lord said, no. And after a further amount of time, Paul asked, Lord, take it away. And the Lord said, no. Now understand that after, and only after the third request, Paul had, by the third request, learned what God was teaching him. But also understand that Paul progressively learned this step by step with each request that Paul made. Because when God said no the first time, Paul went and he meditated on that. He thought about that. He took his heart to God. Why did God say no? He went to the Lord. We need to understand this. So from the very first request through the third and last request, Paul progressively learned what God was trying to teach him. Now, God deals with us step by step. If you want to see a beautiful illustration of this, read the book of Job. And you will see how God led Job step by step. And as we respond, as you and I respond to each step that God takes us through, God brings us closer to the ultimate goal of what He is teaching us. And as we respond during each step, and we do have to respond, dear ones, if we don't respond, it's no good. And as we respond during each step, we learn obedience. We are becoming what we ought to be. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, we should note here, there is nothing wrong with asking God to take away our affliction. There's nothing wrong with that. But this asking should be absolutely be with a heart attitude of not my will, O God, but your will be done. Now, without this attitude of heart, God cannot, absolutely cannot, teach us what He wants to teach us. Now, what we know of the Apostle Paul, we know that this was his heart attitude. Many times, however, this is not my attitude. Paul, on his part, was ready to receive God's answer, whether it was yes or whether it was no. Now, we shall see that the no from God was far more profitable for Paul than the yes would have been. And because of Paul's heart attitude of desiring only God's will, God's purposes were worked out and glory was brought to God. And note this, Paul learned and benefited from it tremendously. Tremendously. And we're going to look at that in a moment. But this did not happen all at once. It didn't happen all at once. There was a process of learning. As Paul came before God three times over a period of time. Again, we do not know how long that was. But it was a period of time. So, dear Christians, understand how God deals with us through certain trials. It is a step-by-step process that progressively brings me to where God wants me to be. And be aware, that during this process, I must bow my heart to God during the trial process. I must bow my heart to God. Now, I might not know what specifically God is doing or trying to accomplish at that particular time. I may not know this. But my heart attitude must be one of total acceptance of His will. And that brings us to the question. What did Paul learn from this experience? What did Paul learn from this experience? Well, first of all, I'm going to suggest to you that Paul learned faith. His faith increased. He learned, as verse 9 tells us, my grace is sufficient. Now, God was increasing Paul's faith. Now, when we make this statement, God's grace is sufficient, that is an attitude of faith in God. Do you understand this? God, your grace is sufficient. Don't we do that by faith? Yes. That is an attitude of faith in God. So it's faith that God knows best. It's faith that God has only my good at heart. It's faith that God will take care of me. My grace is sufficient for thee. Now, the Apostle Paul, by making that statement and accepting that statement from God, showed that faith was produced in Paul's heart. My grace is sufficient. Paul accepted that, and that, dear ones, is faith. Don't make any mistake about it. And it's the same with us. It's the same with us. But remember, it takes a divine process, a step-by-step process of God working in my heart to get me to that precise point where He wants me to be. Now, first, God allowed Satan to attack His child. And then, as his child turned to God and came to him in humble prayer and supplication. Three times. God began working in Paul's heart. And when God was through, Paul knew that God's grace was sufficient. He knew it. But do not forget, dear ones, that I, as a Christian, have to respond to God with my heart during each step of the process until God accomplishes His goal for me. And you'll know it when He gets through. Now, there was another purpose of God that He wanted to teach Paul as well. And verse 9 tells us about that. Paul says, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." In the middle of verse 9. "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? God also showed Paul that his strength, God's strength, and God's power is made perfect, is made evident or manifest in man's weakness. Now, what does this mean? Well, it means that God, by taking a poor, weak, frail, fearful human being like you and me, or the Apostle Paul, but God, by working in our hearts, and as we respond to God's working in our hearts, will bring glory to Himself. And it certainly does. When we submit our hearts and our emotions and our wills to God in trials, everyone around us sees the glory and the power and the strength of God shown forth in a frail human being. And not only that, but all of heaven sees it as well. God's angels are looking on it as well in amazement that God could do such a thing in a sinful human heart. But the results of this process of God's strength being produced out of human weakness will have its effect on me as well. It will have an effect on me as well. And this is, note this, that the power of Christ will rest upon me. That's the last phrase of verse 9. That the power of Christ will rest upon me. Now, this simply means that not only will God give me His power to overcome in the trial, during the trial, but that the power of Christ's life will be produced in my own life from then on. Now, do you remember 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10? Let me read it to you again. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while," after you have suffered a while, "make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Or as the Amplified Version says so beautifully, "make you what you ought to be." Make you what you ought to be. So it is, as verse 9 here puts it, the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul experienced that. We can too. So what have we learned? Well, we have learned that God has a threefold purpose. He had a threefold purpose in Paul's thorn in the flesh. First of all, Paul's faith was increased because Paul accepted that God's grace was sufficient. He did that by faith. Okay? That's what trials will do for you. Secondly, Because Paul received this trial, because he received it and bowed his heart to God in it, the power of Christ rested upon him. In other words, he was becoming what he ought to be. And thirdly, the wonderful thing that God produced in this trial that Paul experienced was that God's power and strength was showed forth and produced out of weakness, out of a weak human being. And we should understand that when power and strength coming out of a weak, frail human being like you and me, it brings glory to God. It brings glory to God. The world doesn't know anything about that. It's never seen it among its own. It's only among God's own people. But remember, dear ones, God's process in a trial is step by step, just as Paul's was. And as we respond at each step through prayer and drawing near to God, God will, on His part, bring us closer to the ultimate goal of what He is teaching us. And that goal is making us what we ought to be, more like the Lord Jesus Christ. He is increasing our faith. He is bringing the power of Christ upon me, and He is glorifying Himself through the weakness of human beings just like you and me. So, dear ones, let us not despise God's trials. Let us not despise them. Let's not neglect them. Let's not ignore them. But instead, embrace them with spiritual understanding and joy, knowing that God has glorious and eternal plans for me. Through His wonderful working, His wonderful working in the unpleasant happenings of life, whether they be small or large. The Apostle Paul gained priceless treasure for God through his thorn in the flesh. We can as well, through our own unpleasant experiences of life, be looking for them. God's glory is at stake, and your Christ-likeness is at stake as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for what You have taught us concerning this amazing child of Yours, the great Apostle Paul. Oh, Father, we thank You that we can receive Your trials. We can be exercised by Your trials. We can receive these wonderful things from Thee as well, if we would just but understand with our spiritual eyes and our hearts. God, I pray this for each one of us here tonight, that the next time an unpleasant occurrence happens in our life, we will think of the Apostle Paul, of his thorn in the flesh, and what my response should be. We commit these things to Thee in the name and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I think Michael has some prayer requests for us tonight.